are on. Go ahead, Drew. Kick us off.
All right. Hey, everyone, and welcome to Gamers First Podcast. This is our sixth episode. As always, I'm Drew, and with me today is Brian.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
This is our second attempt at a Skype podcast here.
Yes, and we've already become much, much better. I realized the last time I didn't even have my mic actually connected, and I was going through my computer mic, thus why we had such crap sound.
Yep, so hopefully this one will be better. We did take another week off for Labor Day weekend. We wanted to relax a little bit and play some games that we have to talk about this week.
Why don't you kick that off there? I don't know. Have you been playing anything?
I have been playing quite a bit. I've been looking at, I think I'm going to have to buy Walking Dead Episode 3. I haven't yet, but
I've heard some good things. It's supposed to be like a crazy twist in the third one.
Right, it's supposed to be really good, so I'm definitely going to have to check that out. It's only $5, so you know they roped me in by giving me the first two for free, so I'll probably go that way. But let's see, the first thing I did was I decided I needed a platinum trophy. And we can talk even a little bit more about that later, but I needed a platinum trophy, so I went and played Ratchet & Clank A Crack in Time.
You know, I still haven't beat that game. You know, I haven't beat one Ratchet & Clank game. I feel like I've missed out on something.
yeah, absolutely. So I have beaten every Ratchet & Clank game. I talked a little bit about this. I don't know if it was on the podcast, but it's really hard for me to play through a game twice in a row. Like, I just, a lot of times I'm not feeling it. And so if I have to beat it on multiple difficulties, or like for Ratchet & Clank, you had to beat it on hard and then on challenge mode.
Yeah.
Which is like the new game plus kind of thing. But so you had to play the game twice in a row. And I didn't want to do that the first time, but that was pretty much all I had to do to get the platinum trophy. So I decided, hey, it's been years now since I beat it. Why don't I play through it on challenge mode? So I did that and I got my first platinum trophy. I then was, you know, feeling really confident, and I plug in Mass Effect 2 to get my Mass Effect 2 platinum trophy. And I figured out all I have to do is play it on Insanity. And that's a little bit more difficult than Ratchet & Clank on challenge mode. So we'll see if I stick with that, especially since that's such a long game.
Yeah. And that's the one where Nefarious is I think I remember that one. Like where you have like the ability to change time or something, right? There's like the story between your little companion.
Like with Clank and Ratchet, yeah.
Yeah.
Separated Clanks at the clock. It's what most people consider to be the epitome of Ratchet & Clank. Like that, of the classic Ratchet & Clank, since the first game, you know, this was kind of the culmination of everything. You've got great platforming, incredible weapons, and a wonderful story. That those games have always been so great at being funny and just being like downright hilarious at points. And this one does that, but it still keeps a very entertaining and somewhat serious story. It's without a doubt the best Ratchet & Clank experience, single player at least, out there right now.
I need to check that out.
We'll talk.
I might have to gamefly that one.
It's definitely worth it. We'll talk a little bit more about the new Ratchet & Clank when we get into our new section.
Yes. Well, I have, of course, still been playing Sleeping Dogs, Darksiders, but I stopped a little bit on Sleeping Dogs and played more of Darksiders because I realized it was a game I'm not as interested in the side quests as I was with Sleeping Dogs. See, I'm on Gamefly, so I know you get to keep games, but I use Gamefly to kind of like burn through games, so to say, so I can get a chance to play all these. There's only two of us, so you know, doing this podcast and stuff. So I like to bring you guys what's going on and what I think about games, but it's hard to do that if I try to complete a game fully. So, but I really liked the Sleeping Dog side quest, so I knew that it was going to take me longer. So I've been trying to blow through Darksiders, doing kind of a fast run, not really paying attention to some of the side quests, which kind of sucks because they seem like they're really cool.
Yeah,
but,
and that game is just so different now.
Yeah.
I mean, the quest didn't exist in the first game.
Exactly. And it really is intriguing. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, there's like a cool side quest where you go after like these three big bosses and they're really hard and I'm in no way ready to fight them. And I really want to do it, but I want to beat it because I was just talking to Drew, which we're going to bring up later in the podcast that we're looking forward crazy style to Borderlands 2, but I want to try to get that through Gamefly, so I need to beat Darksiders within the next 2 weeks. So I'm playing that. I'm halfway through it. It's an amazing game. The story is so cool. I have to say, I hope every game employs this. Have you gotten to play it yet, Drew?
I have not gotten to play Darksiders 2 yet.
Okay, it's so cool. So whenever you stop, it saves. And when the game starts again, during the loading menu, before you get to your screen, it's like, and this has been the story so far. And it like has like this graphic, and then it's like this awesome voiceover explaining everything you've done and where you're at every single time. And then it fades away. What's up?
The loading screen?
Yes, that's the loading screen. And then it'll fade away. And what it gives you is the menu where you would go into the game is where your character was exactly when you saved. So it's super cool.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it's very clean. It's a great menu system. So and it, like it's like right when you boot up the game, you don't even have to like worry about getting into the game because the game throws you right back to where you were. You're like, oh yeah, it's right. I gotta go kill this 100-foot giant stone man. So that game is amazing.
Well, that save and load feature, I guess, sounds really nice to me. I've also been playing some Borderlands, the original. I know we played through a good chunk of it together.
Yes.
But I've got it for free through PlayStation Plus now, and I'm running through it and having a lot of fun. But every time I turn the game back on, I'm like back in the original location.
Right, yeah.
Have to find where I was, which is slightly annoying. But luckily, travel in that game, not too bad.
Such a good game. Terrible ending, though. When I beat that, I was like, what? What just happened?
We can talk about this a little. Well, we'll talk about it now.
So I played the Darksiders, and then what's taking a lot of my time is, of course, Madden 13. I started some leagues, been playing with some friends, and it's definitely by far the best Madden they've made.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that in our last one. You enjoyed the connected careers mode. Yep. You playing as a coach or a player right now?
We have both now. We have a coach league and then a player, a QB league.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So that's where I'm at. I'm just cycling really through those two games, and hopefully I'll beat Darksiders in time to get Borderlands through Gamefly, or I'll just go buy it. Whatever. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. And let's transition now. We can actually start with I guess what we're most excited about, which is Borderlands 2.
So excited.
Every time we see more of it, we want even more of it.
I know, I need to stop watching all the features. I'm like, stop. Just don't do it.
But they're so good. They're so cool. And they're not spoiling anything.
Like, no.
Randy Pitchford, the guy that runs Gearbox Studios, was on IGN for a two-hour long live stream. And they showed 2 hours worth of footage. And they've still only spoiled the one Tiny Tina mission with the Tea Party.
Oh, so, I got spoiled. I didn't watch the same one as you. I did get spoiled. I watched the GameSpot hour-long live playthrough. And, you know, they really did play I was surprised. They had a huge – I think it's a huge spoiler, probably side quest with Mordecai.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is, well, then that is significantly more spoilers than most other places have been able to give.
Yeah, did you see that one?
I have not seen that one. I will probably check it out. But yeah, they said those guys are going to show up from time to time.
Right.
The original people.
Well, I guess I'll spoil you then, and I'll spoil the people listening to this. It's a great podcast to watch, and I don't think it's as huge of a spoiler. You do get kind of to the end, and it really, I think the point of it was to show you just how involved the story is now in the second one. So you work with Mordecai because you're going to pick up Bloodwing, and you get to this fight and Bloodwing is gone. There's like blood and a bunch of feathers, and he's been taken by Handsome Jack.
Okay.
So it's a really cool mission.
So it's good that they're tying in story like that, and it probably is one of the few things they've given away. They've only given away, other than that, they gave away the like creature dome, the fighting arena, which looks really hard.
Dude, it looks so hard.
I mean, they had guys that were the playtesters for the game that could barely do anything. Were getting through like one mission before they were dying.
I know, that was hilarious. They couldn't, and, well, in the end, they got, I think, to the third round, right?
Yeah. Yeah, eventually. But so that was an hour long on IGN, and then the 2 hour long, they did the Tiny Tina mission, and that girl has the best dialogue I've ever heard.
So you liked it. See, I need to watch it because, you know, IGN, when they saw that, said it was too over the top for them. They were like, well, I hope it's not all like this because this was too much. And I was kind of like interested to see that.
When I got to see it, I really enjoyed it. And not necessarily like the whole mission. Like some of it, I'll give them the fact that some of it is definitely over the top.
Yeah. Is she just vulgar or?
Well, no, not exactly. Like, I mean, like she's overly goofy about some of it. And it's like Mr. So-and-so and Miss So-and-so, and you got to get the guests for the tea party. And,
okay.
And that's like kind of lame or whatever. But if you listen to her dialogue, I think it's hilarious that this tiny little like 12-year-old is just like, for shizzle my rizzle. And like, it's hilarious. And she's like, man, that's the best tea party ever.
I need to watch it. Can you watch that, or was it only a live?
No, it's now up. The full 2 hours of it is on. Right. So feel free to skip around through it. But they showed a lot of cool weapons. Let's see, one of the coolest ones that I saw was they have basically machine gun sniper rifles.
Oh.
They have quick fire sniper rifles where you
God, I can't wait.
You hold the trigger down and it keeps firing. And so there's some that are like mini guns that have like a rotating barrel and shoot like 20 shots before you have to reload. And then I saw one that was, it was more just like a normal heavy machine gun. But you shot like 12 shots before you had to reload.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, there's just ridiculous stuff. And to hear Randy Pitchford talk about it, what I love about Borderlands is he's like, you know, we gave you unlimited sprint. Because, you know, like, yes, it's slightly more realistic to say, like, oh, you're tired, you have to stop and wait or whatever right now. But is that fun? No. Right? And so at its heart, Borderlands 2 is a game.
Yeah.
For players, you know what I mean? Like, it's fun every time they had to, like, ask something. There's no fall damage in the game. Because, like, if you jump off a 1,000-foot cliff in the game world, you're fine.
Hey, it's called shortcuts.
Right, exactly. Like, and it's more fun. Like, right? Like, I just got to fall like 1,000 feet down, which is significantly more fun than if I fell 1,000 feet down and like exploded.
Yeah, and I like stuff like that too because sometimes, especially in Borderlands, you're in an area and you know you complete a quest and then you always got to go back to that portal and maybe you worked your way up a mountain. So then you know if you're like, well, if I could just jump off this freaking mountain, I could just get there rather than working all the way back down.
Right, exactly. And so they let you do that, which is really nice. And so it is. It's a game at heart, which is just awesome. And yeah, there's a lot of footage out there right now, a lot of gameplay footage that doesn't spoil too much story if you do want to check that stuff out.
It's worth checking out. It looks great.
Oh, I mean, I've heard Randy Pitchford say multiple times that, you know, in the first game they had brown. And then they had a light brown, and then they had a darker brown. And those were basically the colors that they used through the entire world.
That's true.
Other than, like, your character and your vehicles, everything and guns, everything was brown. And not the case in this game.
You got purple, yellow, blue, green. I mean,
everything.
Yeah.
Ice worlds, there's acid falling in different places.
I love the character creation too. Now I you know, that's gotta be, it's, I think it's a stupid pet peeve, but you've got a game like Borderlands, it's an RPG, and I like to make my character. I mean, I'm a guy who will spend, even in Madden, I'll spend a good amount of time, you know, making somebody who looks cool to me, and in Borderlands you never could do that.
Yeah, and they do it in a really Borderlands kind of way. Like, so you start off as your generic character. And you don't customize at the beginning. But as loot, you find different character customizations.
Yeah.
So it drops randomly as loot. Your different like skins, different hairstyles.
With pre-order as well. And you're going to get some great stuff because I won't because I didn't play it on PlayStation. So maybe I'll do that a little bit because since you're playing it on PlayStation, the first one, you get extra stuff for, I think, completing or whatever it was. I can't remember if it was like completing the whole game or just playing, but you do get a perk for having played the first game.
Nice. I knew that. I knew Darksiders has done that. But yeah, it makes sense, right? Like, yeah. But one of the cool things they said, we talked about like how excited people are for this game. It's really the only major launch in September, as far as consoles go.
Yeah, they picked a great launch date, a month.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they're going to own September. And just something pretty cool, that as many pre-orders as the original Borderlands had, they sold twice that many of the ultimate package.
Of two
for pre-orders.
You talking about that one that's like $160?
Yeah, they sold more of those than they did original Borderlands pre-orders, because Borderlands was such a weird game. Like, Borderlands still, if you walk into like GameStop, even a used copy is like $25-$30.
Right.
Second one's about to come out, and for the longest time Borderlands was still like $50.
Well, yeah, it's
nobody, it gained popularity as right. It was out.
Well, it's also like, I think it fits in that genre with Call of Duty and Battlefield, and the way what holds its value, what holds those games' value, is their online. And Borderlands' online is so, there's just so many people playing, and you know, you can put a price on how many people are joining in an online game. That's what makes online games so great, which is I think why you're seeing more of a push for this open world co-op in some sort of way, create an online universe. Because if you've got 4 million people still playing that a year later, that game is still going to go for $30 because the value's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, so people are still playing Borderlands. You know, I'm going to finish it for the first time ever.
Are you?
Free, yeah.
How far are you?
Let's see. I just got to the Dahl Headlands. So, like, the second major area.
Oh, God, you have so long to go, dude.
I understand that, but I have 2 weeks.
True.
And I, you know, I get out of class at noon, and so I play games for a few hours and then do homework. And then if I have more left in me, I either watch football or play games.
God, you're making me want to go pick it up for PlayStation just to play with you.
it's been good. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. We'll see. I'm trying to get in to some of the online co-op features and check those out. I heard they're doing a better job letting you jump into people's stories this time. Like, the matchmaking is a little bit better online.
Mm-hmm.
They're also doing, I mean, that game is made for co-op, you can tell. I'm enjoying it fine on my own. I'd never played as the soldier before. I played as the berserker. Playing as the soldier.
That's what I beat it as. I think it's one of the easiest way to beat it by yourself, because once you get that turret upgraded, it really, I mean, it's like another person.
It's been nice. And there's some good class mods, man. Yeah. The randomly generated stuff in those games is amazing. Oh, I gotta tell you, Borderlands 2, I saw the best grenade ever.
Which one? The heat seeking inferno grenade?
Yes, it's that, and so that's in like the trailer, right?
Right.
Like, but there's also a heat seeking singularity inferno grenade.
Oh.
So it blows up, it pulls all the enemies into it, and then it blows up again and sets them all on fire.
That sounds amazing. That actually reminds me, too. You know, I've been watching, and you know, I love soldier classes. And, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, Gunzerker, that's going to be me. I want to dual wield and destroy everything. But I got to say, like, I am really, like, torn on, I'm gonna have to wait and see what you want to go with, but I think I want to either be the Siren or that infiltrator, I can't remember his name.
Zero.
Yes. Cause that's what I watched with IGN. I mean, GameSpot, that hour long one they did yesterday was with Zero.
He looks so cool. And I mean, there's two different ways you can go. You can either go, like, two opposite ways that you can go, really. Right. Like, his middle tree is a little bit of a mix, but one side of his skill tree is completely sniper. So about as far distance as you can get, it shows you have skills that show you the critical hit spots.
Mm-hmm.
He you bullet penetration so that, you know, like you can shoot through people's critical hit spots and do just massive amounts of damage from afar. And then his other one has like the backstab skill and puts, you know, the duplication out so he can run around. They're focused on that. He runs around behind people and can do, you know, 150% melee damage. And he also has a bunch of things that bump up his normal melee damage as well.
Right. They were talking about that in that GameSpot feed, saying how they went with the, I think it's called the Bloodlust or Blood something, and they call it like Shotgun Ninja, because they'll be really fast and they'll just get like a pimp shotgun and then just run around and get up close shotgun and then melee, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I bet. So, I mean, there are some really cool things you can do. The Gunzerker has a Gunlust tree that, like, when you switch weapons, it automatically reloads so that you don't have to, like, waste reload time or that kind of
stuff. That's awesome.
There's also one where he does just massive amounts of elemental damage. So you can put two different elemental guns in his thing. The coolest thing that I've seen is the cooldown for your action skills is significantly less. Now, I don't know about the turret. Probably still takes about the same amount of time. But, like, as far as for the Siren, for Zero, and for the Gunzerker, you can hit your action skills almost all the time.
That's pretty cool.
Which, you know, just encourages you to use them more. There are cool things like, so you can, as the Siren, what I was thinking maybe is, regardless of what you want to play, I was thinking maybe playing the Siren and doing the ones because, like, you know, she locks people in place, which is just really good for co-op.
Yeah, it's great.
And so, like, one of them even locks people in place and makes them more susceptible to elemental damage.
Right.
So you could lock them in place, and then if you get a Gunzerker that's got that high elemental damage, just wreck.
It'd be destruction.
Like, even bosses, you know, lock a boss in place for a few seconds.
Right.
And throw some massive elemental damage on them with the Gunzerker.
I love, too, the what I saw in there that looks like it's going to – I mean, it will be great for co-op. With Zero is if you do go with that sniper class and then you do your skill, which is letting off that like mirage of you, there's a timer and it shows you like when it's like gonna count down, when it's gonna go away. And the longer you wait, the higher critical damage you'll cause on that player. And I was watching them play and it was like 4, 3, 2, and then the GameSpot guy shot the guy in the head and it was like plus 600,000 critical damage and the guy's head like blew off and I was like, oh my god, that's amazing.
They also, they added a lot of new animations. Like you can shoot people's legs off, mm-hmm. And they'll actually like, you know, it's mixed animations with Ragdoll,
which is great because they've added robots. So you know, if you got a badass Gunzerker blower up robot and you can take out its rocket launch arm, you know, that would be very helpful.
That's really nice. And they did one of the things they were really showing off in that 2-hour stream on IGN was that. Enemies evolve
with you.
Well, that, but also like when you're fighting them. So if you, even the easiest enemies, if you don't kill them all the way at once, then they evolve into a more difficult version of themselves and get all their health back. And then if you get them down to low health, but don't kill them again, they'll evolve again. And some of them evolve 3 or 4 times.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. And I love how it has what looks like Halo, 4 is going to have in it, which is awesome. I just had to throw that in there because I'm excited about Halo. The shields, those little guys, looks like they're gonna be flying around, and then you're gonna have. I mean, I love it when they ask stuff like that. I mean, I know some games have it and some don't. But when you're playing a game like Borderlands 2, when you're playing first person shooters, it's really nice to have to look at a battlefield and go, okay, well, why am I dying so much? It's like, oh, I need to take out the shield guy before I can take out this boss guy. Then I need to take out his minion before I can take out that little robot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There is a lot of strategy especially for a shooter game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strategy in Borderlands and beyond even what you just said, like who you're going to attack when, but what kind of weapons you're going to use.
What your loadout.
Right. Maybe map your skill tree a little bit different. Maybe you need to respec for this particular fight. All of that kind of stuff really does play a part, which is really cool.
Yes.
But so transitioning a little bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about Halo 4? We were just talking about over a decade that we've had Halo.
Yeah, I was having a nerd moment just because I was before we got online here to do our podcast, I was watching a great 10-minute like little documentary on the making of Halo 4. And it's just crazy. It's crazy when you think about it. I mean, whether you know you think it's all just fan hogwash or not, I mean, it's been over a decade now. Halo came out in 2001. We are now in 2012, and we're getting Halo 4. I mean, lifelong legacy right there. I mean, that's just, it's just insane. I mean, I don't think any other game meets the sheer amount of fan base and longevity that Halo has. And I am just beyond excited to watch Halo 4, to play Halo 4, to, as I talked about before, I find the online system is completely changing the genre with how the episodes coming out weekly for 8 weeks, which equals more content than Halo ODST in terms of story. Like, that's just insane.
Yeah, that is a great thing. That the continuation of content, the continual release of content, is really kind of where games, at least certain games, seem to be moving.
And I love that, because I think there's been lots of talk, like joking talk, where it's like, give me a map like Call of Duty does and go screw yourself, but give me another level, give me 4 more hours of campaign, and yeah, I'll drop $10 on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so things like that. But even I guess more to the point of like the way Telltale does things, where they have, you know, 5 episodes of Back to the Future, 5 episodes right. of The Dead, and they.
I need to get in on that. It's just I haven't yet.
If honestly, at this point, you may just want to wait, and then you can buy the whole thing for $20 or whatever.
How many episodes are there going to be?
5. Oh, okay. And so they just finished the third one. There's 2 left. They'll probably be done by the end of the year. Maybe very early next year. And once the 5th one comes out, you can buy the full thing. Probably even on a disc, because this one has been by far their most popular.
Right. And what you said, they're like, what, 3-4 hours?
I give it 2.5-ish per one.
Okay. So that's not bad then. Altogether, it's going to be like 10 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, altogether, it's 10 hours. You can play through, you can definitely play through an episode in one sitting. It feels like watching a movie. And you know, that's kind of how it plays. But your decisions play so much of a part in this game that it's ridiculous.
I know. I need to play it. Crap. So,
things seem to be moving toward a little bit more of an episodic content release, which is nice. Yeah, it's nice to not just get a map, but to get a new game mode like Battlefield did with its thing.
Right.
Or to get more story content.
Yeah. But yes, I mean...
original Borderlands, we played a couple of the DLC, and it had, you know, even though the story was kind of lacking, it had new areas and story in it.
Yeah, I didn't find, I think the one we played, well, yeah, the story was kind of lacking, but it was funny.
Right. Well, I mean, it still existed, it's just not, like...
Right.
It was not that game was not a story-driven game by any means.
No, not at all.
All right, well, let's move on a little bit. One of the big things that happened last weekend was the Dota 2, the international tournament.
No, I have not been keeping up with that, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and so this is a little bit of kind of like Major League Gaming-ish kind of news. Definitely esports, we'll call it that. And so Dota is one of these MOBA style games, multiplayer online battle arena games. It's like League of Legends, if right. anybody's heard of the same kind of thing. But the international, the winning team gets $1 million.
Holy crap.
So it's $250,000 per player.
Made by Valve, right?
Yeah, this tournament was from Valve. The game Dota was created out of Warcraft 3, I think. It was a mod for Warcraft 3. And the second one has been in beta for like over a year. So when the official game comes out, we'll let you know. But you can probably get into Dota 2 beta. PC betas, you know, last forever.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And so even though it's in beta, there's, you know, a whole esport modeled around it, and people can win $1 million. And so IG Gaming or Invictus Gaming won. They beat their Chinese team. They beat out one of the European teams, Navi, who won the original international.
$1 million
in back-to-back years. And so we had a winner from that, and some of the results are online if anybody's interested in that kind of stuff. But a little bit more information on stuff that MOBA genre that's really gaining popularity, definitely on PC gaming. And one that's going to come to consoles that I think is really going to bridge the gap is Lord of the Rings, Guardians of Middle Earth.
Guardians of Lord of the Rings. I can't believe that. I don't think I've ever played a Lord of the Rings game.
So they're saying, like, they're hoping that doesn't scare hardcore console gamers. Like, I played, what was it? I played Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers on PS2.
Any good?
Fun game. It was really fun to play co-op. I played it with a friend of mine, played it with Lance, and he and I would play. And, I mean, it was hack and slash and followed very lightly the story of the movie.
Right.
But it was, you know, it was fun. But that's probably the best Lord of the Rings game there's ever been. and it wasn't great. But they're really just, they think they can do a lot of interesting things with the characters from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
In MOBA. So like the MOBA style, basically it's an entire RPG crammed into 20 minutes. And it's 5-on-5. You kill these AI characters that are called creeps or soldiers or anything like that. And so, I mean, this is really, it's exactly like League of Legends, but it's with Lord of the Rings IP.
Right.
And so like Sauron's in it and, you know, he's obviously like the evil Lord Sauron.
You play him or it's a creep?
You can play as him.
Oh, nice.
He's one of the, for lack of a better word, heroes. He's one of the characters that you actually play as. And so you can play as him, you wield his massive mace, and you grind your levels up, and then once you get higher levels, you can dump points into skills, and like he has a skill called the Lidless Eye, which, you know, so like it chases people down, and regardless of if they teleport away or anything. And so like there's a lot of skill in those genres, but this is one that's going to play on consoles and they think is going to bridge the gap. And I'm really excited for it. You know, I don't have anything that can play PC games, but I'm getting more and more excited about these MOBA style games. So that's one to keep an eye on. They announced Sauron and they announced another character, Hildefons, something like that. He's a hobbit that they kind of took some liberties with and makes a bunch of mines. And so, you know, there's a lot of strategy in it. 5-on-5 battles, there are heroes that take a lane by themselves. There's three lanes between the two bases. Some heroes take a lane by themselves. Some work with other heroes to like push a lane further. Some initiate team battles. Some are really good support characters, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'll be interested then in paying attention to that when it gets closer to release.
Right. So, yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. And then, we've mentioned this game a couple times in here, but we actually haven't really talked about this game hardly at all on the podcast, and that's Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Yes, that's going to be coming out in 2 months.
It's coming. Yeah. Call of Duty is something that everybody has to talk about because it is the biggest game out there.
Until Halo 4 comes out.
Yeah, so they say. But just think, you know, there are enough people on PC and on PS3 that'll play Call of Duty.
But oh my god, yeah.
They're really trying to transition it to more of an esport. So we just finished talking about esports. You know, these are really big in some places. Like in Korea, there was a StarCraft tournament that had 120,000 live viewers.
That is crazy.
20,000 people in the audience, that's bigger than a lot of American football games, especially a lot of NFL games.
Right.
You know, that's bigger than even a UT football game, and they have the second biggest stadium in the U.S.
Yeah, it's a huge thing, and I watched a featurette on the new Call of Duty on Xbox when they were showing off the gameplay, and they were showing off, you know, the multiplayer for the first time, and the way they integrated esports. And it looked really cool. The only problem I had with it, but I found out recently you can have it turned off, is if you have esports mode turned on, then it offers you, the player, who, or I guess really your friend, who's going to be doing the esports, who's going to be doing that live podcast, gets this overview. Like, you get to look down on the battlefield, you get this map of where everybody is, so you can kind of, so you can cast it, so you can sports cast it. And the first time I saw that, I just thought some guy with some friend is going to have his friend looking at that map and then telling him like where everybody is.
Right. Yeah. So they did just talk about this a lot, and it's called COD casting, COD, yeah, for Call of Duty. And so they CODcast. It's, you know, shout casting, like what people do for StarCraft and that kind of stuff. And it's the same kind of thing. And they, it is, it gives you, it's really, really useful, it looks like, for this casting. Like, yes, it's great maps. It looks like it's going to function really well. You can follow any player and get their exact screen. So it looks really handy for esports. Right, if you have somebody that's not going to take the esports part of it seriously,
then they're going to exploit it.
And it can be exploited. But so it sounds like it can very easily be turned off. And they'll probably have a lot of matchmaking where it will be turned off, from what I understand. And then you can just do, like, you know, special battles. If you get in with a group of friends and y'all play together all the time, you know, there's six of you or whatever, then it's the way to go. Why not, you know, have somebody come cast your game?
Right.
But yeah, you don't want it to be exploited. You don't want somebody sitting in the next room telling you exactly how to do it.
That was that was one of the things I was afraid of with that. Because Call of Duty is also known for cheaters.
Yeah, it is. But so we, there's a, let's talk about the other parts of multiplayer. And there's a new loadout system.
Yes. So
they call it Pick 10. And so really, between your perks, your weapons, everything, you choose 10 of anything. Right.
Of whatever you want to. Like, you don't even, I love how you don't have to get a, I mean, obviously it's the most ballsiest thing in the world to do, but you don't have to pick any weapons.
Right. Yeah, you can, if you wanted to, you could pick, like, just a pistol.
Right. Or you can just perk out and then run around the battlefield and hope you pick up somebody's weapon.
Right, yeah, hope you can knife somebody quick enough to pick up their gun. But yeah, so you can do some crazy things with that, with the Pick 10 style. They even have wild card picks, which, like, you can load it out, and it could be anything, any kind of perk.
Right.
And it could be something really, really good that you don't have access to.
And it's the organization they've done a lot better with now. So when you're doing something that's a weapon-based perk, then it is for your weapon. Like, it isn't something that just goes in your perk mode. So before, you know, one of your perks could be like a hardened bullet or whatever that would go through the walls. Well, that's no longer the case. Now it's more like the ammo you pick up or the magazine you're going to use. Like, it's going to be in your weapon category.
Right. Yeah. Which is really cool. And so it does seem like they've actually made some real changes to multiplayer this time.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, really, Modern Warfare 3 was
broken, flawed, and shitty.
Well, yeah, but also was the same as Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, the first one, like, multiplayer-wise, just more convoluted and not executed as well. Like,
which, too bad, because I love that campaign was awesome. I got it. Did I buy it or rent it? I don't know. I think I might have bought it. But it was great to finish it. I mean, I thought that was the best campaign since the first one.
Of course, campaign in Black Ops 2 also looks like it might be the best.
Oh, overall ever.
Better in it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I am excited. I you know, you and my friends, anyone who knows me know that I hate Call of Duty. I did not care for the online until Black Ops came out. I like Black Ops, and then besides that, I haven't played anything else. And I'm actually excited for this one. So
it looks like it's gonna be really good. And so it looks like they're going for a little more esports. It looks like they're gonna do a little something different with the multiplayer this time around. And I'm definitely back in. I have not ever played any part of Modern Warfare 3 because I was sick and tired of Call of Duty.
Right.
this Black Ops 2, I'm back in. And I think it's going
to
be good.
Yeah, then to jump ship, I was trying to think of what it was, the game this or before we started this I was telling you about that I wanted to talk about. And I just randomly saw it right here. It's called Remember Me. Have you heard about that?
I have. I just saw they just released some of the first gameplay footage.
Yes. I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm excited, but I think it falls in line of where we're going with these new IPs. You know, you've got this other IP too, the Watch Dogs, all this new tech. Like, everything looks like it's going to the future and how technology will be used. And I really like what Remember Me is doing with manipulating memories to make you think like you've done something. Like that gameplay video where she manipulates, like, it's like a mini game. Like, you play it, and then it's kind of like a what's the PlayStation game where the QuickTime events and the huge story? There's three of them. There's a new one coming out with Ellen Page. Heavy Rain.
Okay.
Like the Heavy Rain series, you go into these people's mind, and then it's almost like a story that you're playing out over and over again, and you're almost like being a detective and figuring out what can I manipulate to make this guy kill his girlfriend or his wife or whoever it was, so that way he would kill himself in the real world, even though that never happened. And it was just phenomenal. I mean, what they did, and then he ends up like, no, you'll never take me, because she messes with his head, and he kills himself. And then right after that, his wife actually walks into the room. And I think it's just, I don't know. I mean, whether or not that'll work for everything, I think that impacted me. I was like, that was crazy. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, that kind of stuff is really cool. They showed then some of the combat after that.
I never saw the combat. I haven't watched that video.
Interesting. So it's basic hand-to-hand is where it starts. When somebody's weakened, you give them a memory overload. So you basically knock them out. Like, you just feed a bunch of random memory junk into their head.
And it causes them to pass out?
Yeah. And then when you do that, you get like a little bar that you can use for a special attack. And so there was one called like a logic bomb or something like that. And it was a bomb that kind of just like knocks everybody away. But there were some special abilities that you get from finishing an enemy by giving them a memory overload.
Right.
And so it looks pretty cool. It looks pretty fluid in the gameplay department, and it's definitely still an early build, the stuff that they're showing right now. So I assume it could get a little bit better.
Could be a next-gen game too, so I just wanted to drop that in there. And I know we've gone a little bit longer this time. I think we finally had a podcast with no mistakes, but we always want to finish you guys off with some movie news. And Drew actually had it written on here. I thought I was going to be able to surprise him, but obviously I couldn't. Some Batman news is going to be out. Why don't you tell them about the awesome Batman news?
We mentioned a few weeks back about that they had actually recorded Bane's origin story and full feature filmed it, did it in post, everything, like it was ready to go.
Then they denied us.
Right. Then they denied us. They didn't let us see it. They shielded it from us. And there are rumors that for the first time ever, a Christopher Nolan movie might have a director's cut.
30 minutes of extra footage detailing Bane's background, how he learned how to fight, you know, the mask, the scar on his back, and even more Ra's al Ghul stuff.
So hopefully that comes with the movie, The Dark Knight Rises, when it comes out on Blu-ray.
My life will be complete.
And hopefully it is a director's cut and not just like, oh, hey, here's 30 minutes of extra footage. Hopefully they actually put it back into the film.
Yeah.
I think it should go. even though it'll make the movie, you know, like 4 hours long. We'll watch it.
We will definitely watch it, Christopher Nolan. You should listen to our podcast because we love you.
That's right.
But that'll never happen. But.
And then the other thing we have down here is Cloud Atlas. Why don't you say a little bit
yes.
about that?
I recently posted a link to that. They have an actual trailer now. You don't have to watch the 10-minute trailer. You can watch the 2-minute trailer, 2 minutes 30 seconds. You should definitely watch it. You should be excited because it's made by the Wachowski brothers and the director of Run Lola Run. It is a movie they were very passionate about, and they didn't even know they were going to get up. They were currently actually working on another film about a future film, which also sounds amazing, and I hope they finish it. But they didn't think they could get the funding for this, so they were working on a film that was going to be like a documentary of the future on what people thought about all these wars and the way the government is today and how it all fell apart. So that was a movie they had gotten funding for, and they were moving for because they thought Cloud Atlas never happened, and it did, and it is happening, and it's coming out in October, and it looks amazing. It looks like another Wachowski's epic. It's going to be 3 hours long. I mean, it's going to be a long movie, and it's going to be crazy. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things from some of the early screenings. I know there's a lot of weird.
It looks great. There's a good cast.
Yes, and there's a lot of weird things they're doing with that cast. I mean, I think you've got Halle Berry playing a white woman at one point. The guy, I never remember his name, but the man who played the main antagonist in The Matrix will be a woman at one point. They say it's the ugliest woman they've ever seen, but he's going to play a woman. So there's a lot of crazy things they're doing in this. It's going to span multiple timelines. I mean, it's going to be, you know, a blow-your-mind Wachowski film.
And the thing that gets me, so, like, I guess the general story is, like, people are tied together through multiple lifetimes and multiple dimensions even, and in multiple times.
Right. It's all about how your actions in the past can affect and shape events that happen in the future.
Right. And so so it looks really interesting.
It's based on a book, too.
Yeah, it is. It is based on a book. And it's definitely one that's on my radar.
Oh, my God, yeah. I cannot wait. And it came out of nowhere. It was like, oh, look, Cloud Atlas, 10-minute trailer, and it's coming out in October. I was like, what the frick?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Should be the first film coming out since Lola Wachowski decided to get that sex change.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, yeah, so they that's pretty much all we have. I guess the last thing that we'll really end with here is Dust 514
back on the PlayStation.
It's been open 7 days a week in beta now. It's open 23 hours out of the day. They closed down for 1 hour for server maintenance and to log their data and that kind of stuff. But it was open to everybody in PlayStation Plus. Now I believe it's open to everybody in PlayStation. So if you don't have a code, you can get one. We also have one to give away.
We do. I have a code. I don't have time to play it, as made obvious at the start of this shenanigans. So if you have stayed with us for the longest podcast we have done, you can hit up myself or Drew. He'll give you our contact emails here in a second, and we'll shoot you over this beta code, and you can jump into Dust 514 beta.
Yep. So that's about all we have. Dust 514, it's got a new coat of paint on it. It looks really nice. It plays even better than it already did. And it is still as deep as ever. It is going to take you multiple hours of playing the game to figure out how you should be playing the game.
Yeah, crazy game. So you can email me at bkaleh@gmail.com. That's bkaleh@gmail.com, and I can shoot you that code. Or Drew.
Always hit me up at ddingram21@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'll shoot you over that code in case you didn't get a chance to partake in what is the most difficult mind-numbing game on the whole planet.
It is. It's out there. But it's good, and it plays well. If you just want something, like a first-person shooter to play for free, it's good for that.
And if you want to be a part of a massive change coming to consoles, because whether you like it or not, it's coming, people.
That's right. Free to play is on the horizon. But anyway, yeah. So that's, and as always, you can get at us at Gamers First, and that's Gamers1ST on Twitter, or GamersFirstPodcast.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and there should be some new stuff coming. I know I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, but I did go on a hiatus, moving life. There's just two of us. But we will be bringing some new stuff. And you can also look forward to a Darksiders and a Sleeping Dogs review in the upcoming weeks, as well as a whole bunch of talk on Borderlands 2 and just all around life lessons from the Ingram Kaylee crew.
That's right. Until next time, y'all take care.
Goodbye.
tell me your name, is it sweet? She said, my boy is Dagger. Oh, yeah. Give me gear, thank you dear, bring your sister over here, let her dance with me just for the hell of it.